Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and we're taking a break today from our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John, and Aaron should be back with me next week, and we'll continue on in that Gospel. But for today, we're going to look at a subject I think that is something that we need to look at quite often, and I have talked about this subject not for probably a couple of years, but it's the subject of trouble. Trouble in the lives of Christian. Why is it there? What do we do about it? We need to understand the trouble that's in our lives so that we can make the best of it, believe it or not, because that's what God wants us to do. And for that, we're in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And let's pray. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 1, and I hope you have a Bible that you can follow along in. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so in this verse, God tells Christians, who are his children, that he wants them to do three things. Okay, here they are. Number one, lay aside every weight. Number two, lay aside sin. Number three, run with endurance. And first, let's consider God's command to lay aside every weight. The weights mentioned here refer to spiritual weights. They are not sins, but they are things that hold us back spiritually. Technically, they're not against the rules. Technically, they are not sin, but they hinder your walk with the Lord. They keep you from going all out for Jesus. They are weights. They slow you down. They're things that you condone that make it more difficult for you to live for Jesus and enjoy the blessings that go along with that. So God says, lay aside every weight. And then he says, lay aside the sin, which so easily ensnares us. In other words, make a clean break from sin. If you're doing something wrong, then just quit. And when you realize that you've done something wrong, immediately repent and confess it. Sin dishonors God. Sin steals our joy. Sin makes us feel guilty. And sin ruins our effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And consequently, God says, get rid of it. Repent of it. Forsake it. There is no good reason to condone sin. But there are plenty of good reasons to forsake it. And then number three, God tells us to run with endurance that race that is set before us. In other words, persevere with Jesus. Keep doing what is right. Keep believing the Bible. You say, well, those three things are a pretty tall order, especially if God expects us to do them all the time. And yeah, he does expect us to do them all the time. But I'll take it one step further. And I'll say that it's not just a tall order, it's actually impossible. It is impossible for a Christian to lay aside those spiritual and moral weights. It is impossible for Christians to get the sin out of their life completely. And it is impossible for Christians to run with patience the race that is set before them. More specifically, it is impossible for Christians to do those things on their own apart from God's power. But we can't. What we can't do on our own, God will do through us if we are his children. Through faith in Jesus Christ. God gives us the desire to do the right thing, and he also gives us the power to do the right thing if we are his children. By his grace, the choice is always ours. And of course, as a Christian, we still have a free will. And if we choose to walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit, if we do not do the right thing, well, then God has something else up his divine sleeve. God has a trump card that he can play that'll get his children to lay aside the weight and the sin and to persevere in the righteous walk with Jesus. And that's something is his divine discipline, his divine chastisement. And that's what we're looking at today. You say, well, I think you better explain divine discipline because I'm not sure what it is. Okay. Divine discipline. Now watch this. Consists of the bad things that come into our life that challenge us, that make us feel bad. Divine discipline refers to struggles, difficulties, suffering, and pain. Those are some of the ways God disciplines. Maybe it's a trial of not having something you wish you had. Maybe it's a trial of having something you wish you didn't have. And someone says, well, I thought those types of things just happened. No, nothing just sort of happens to you if you're a Christian, if you are God's child through faith in Jesus Christ. Many Christians, though, do believe that the trials they experience are things that just happen. And then there are others who are convinced that their trouble is simply the work of the devil in their life, or the work of bad people who do bad things to them. But to view trouble that way is to look at it in a superficial, surface manner that really ignores what's happening. And you won't want to ignore what's happening. Trouble is not simply happenstance or the work of Satan or bad people in the life of believer, although those things may be involved in some way. They could be. Christians must understand that trouble of any kind is in reality the discipline of God. If we don't get that, then we won't profit from God's discipline. If we don't get that, then the sufferings we endure will not be the means to a greater good, which is what God intends. When you as a Christian experience difficulties, your first thought should not be about some bad person who's done something terrible to you. Your first thought should not be about Satan causing trouble in your life. The devil isn't in control of your life. He doesn't call the shots in your life. God does. God is sovereign, not Satan. You say, well, do you mean to tell me that Satan and bad people have no influence in my life at all? No, I'm not saying that. And no, the Bible doesn't teach that. But the Bible does teach that anything the devil or bad people do to you must first be filtered through your Heavenly Father. The Bible also teaches that if God allows bad, then he wants to use it to train you. It is his discipline. It is his loving chastisement. And I think I should clarify some definitions before we go any further. It's important for you to understand that there is a big difference between divine punishment and divine discipline. Our Heavenly Father disciplines Christians for their good. Our Heavenly Father chastens Christians in order to train them so that they will become the kind of people he wants them to be. On the other hand, God doesn't discipline non-Christians. He doesn't discipline them because he's not their father. God is not the father of the unsaved. He's their judge. He's their God, but he's not their father, which is why God punishes Christ-rejecting sinners, not for their good, but to satisfy his justice. When punishing lost sinners, God is expressing his holy wrath. He is satisfying his perfect justice. But always remember that the Lord doesn't punish you if you're a Christian. Well, why doesn't he punish Christians? Because Jesus has already been punished for Christians. And God would not punish the same sin twice because that would violate his perfect justice. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Goes on to say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus satisfied God's righteous anger and his holy justice. So when we are disciplined, it can't be to satisfy God's justice, and it can't be that God is angry at us, because he isn't. Jesus took care of that. And that's not to say chastening doesn't feel like punishment sometimes. It can be very painful at times, but if you are a Christian, chastening comes from your loving Heavenly Father, who does it because he wants what's best for you. In the long run, he's not punishing you. Verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured horrendous times and unspeakable suffering in order to accomplish the will of God, in order to accomplish our salvation. You know what he went through. And we Christians are told to remember what Jesus suffered in the will of God, so that we will respond correctly to whatever type of pain, suffering, or trouble God allows to come into our life. And consequently, God says, when you are suffering, look to Jesus. When you are in pain, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you feel terrible because something bad has happened, remember Jesus, because that will help you to persevere through all the bad, just as he did. Look at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted to blood, striving against sin. In other words, bad things may be happening in your life. Bad people may be doing terrible things to you. You may be experiencing unfair treatment from others. Maybe someone you've trusted has betrayed your trust. You maybe thought you could trust that person forever, and yet they proved to be unfaithful. Whatever the case, whatever the issue is, understand this. Jesus experienced all those things, every single one of those things, to an infinite degree, more than you and I ever possibly could. Jesus experienced all those terrible things because God allowed them to happen. Jesus experienced unimaginable cruelty, terrible suffering, in order to accomplish a greater good for us. So when we are tempted to feel sorry for ourselves because of the bad things in our life, God is telling us to remember that Jesus was completely sinless, completely innocent, and therefore all of his sufferings were uncalled for to an infinite degree, and all mistreatment of him was uncalled for to an infinite degree. 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Whatever troubles come into your life, whatever trials come into your life, whatever the human or the natural source of those bad things may be, make sure you see them for what they really are, namely the discipline of God. And don't take them lightly. In other words, don't despise them. Don't despise the trouble you're facing. It's God's discipline. And just let me suggest to you a couple of ways in which Christians despise God's discipline, so that if you're doing it, you'll stop. Number one, Christians can despise God's discipline by complaining or becoming bitter over their problems. Do you know that complaining is a sin? Do you know that bitterness is a sin? And as you know, sin pulls us away from God, which is the exact opposite of what he wants to accomplish through his discipline. Complaining and bitterness are sins which pull us away from God. Whereas fervently seeking Him in times of trouble accomplishes the spiritual good that He had in mind. So Christians despise discipline by complaining or becoming bitter. Number two, Christians can also despise God's discipline by seeing those trials as simply being some kind of an unjust act perpetrated by a bad person. And I touched on this earlier, but I want to talk about it again because it's so prevalent. Christians say, oh, this bad person is doing these bad things. They shouldn't be doing those bad things. And that's where their focus is. And maybe they shouldn't be doing those bad things, but that's really not the issue as far as you're concerned. It is true that bad people do bad things that they shouldn't do. However, that shouldn't be our main focus when we're in the midst of the bad. Our main focus as God's children, as Christians, should be to accept whatever bad happens to us as our Father's discipline. And that doesn't mean that we can't pray for a change or work for a change, but if it's there, then it's there. So again, do not despise God's discipline by reacting to it in a wrong way, because that's going to short-circuit what God wants to accomplish. All the suffering then will be for nothing. And you don't want that to happen. It's bad enough to suffer, but it's even worse not to allow God to accomplish what He wants to accomplish through it. Again, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of Him. God says, don't faint. In other words, don't be discouraged when you're reproved by your father. Some Christians get discouraged over hard times. And I guess we all do, don't we? From time to time. But in the process of doing that, they don't profit from God's discipline. When trouble hits, they may buy something that they don't need. They may shop to forget. You know, maybe they take pills. Maybe they get drunk to cover the pressure. Maybe they just eat and eat and eat. And there are some who lock themselves in the room and sleep for sorrow. I've known people like that. And some just walk around feeling sorry for themselves. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. It's all ignoring the discipline of their father. And beware of this. Discouragement can happen before we even know it. It can slip in the back door of our soul without us even noticing it. But when we do notice it, when we recognize discouragement, don't nurse it. When bad times hit, Christians can respond in one of two ways. They can draw closer to God through prayer, through fasting, and through the Word of God, in which case God will respond to them by providing comfort and instruction in the midst of their pain. Or they can respond incorrectly by complaining, by becoming stubborn, indifferent, or discouraged. Choice is ours. 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Stop there. Some Christians think that trouble in their lives, the trouble they're experiencing, is a result of God being angry at them. We've already seen that that's not true. God's not angry at you if you're a Christian. And some Christians think that the trouble they're experiencing means that God doesn't like them, let alone love them like He once did. But that's not true either. The Bible says here in verse 6 that God allows trouble into the life of a Christian because He does love us. Whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. You say, well, I wish God wouldn't love me so much. Well, He does. And that's not going to change. And we could feel His love in a much deeper way if we would respond correctly to His discipline, to trouble. If we would humble ourselves in our trials and seek God with all of our heart, even to the point of laying aside many normal activities if need be, then God would reassure us of His love. We'd feel it. 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son He receives. There are times when God wants to see a quick and dramatic change in the attitude of His child. Now, there's no time to mess around. And that often calls for severe discipline, talking about scourging. That means pain. That means maybe extreme fear. That means any number of things that really grab our attention and drive us to our knees. That sort of severe chastening is what is meant by God scourging his children. But even those things are done in love and with a view to our spiritual benefit. And I should also quickly add that trouble in a person's life doesn't necessarily mean that they've done something wrong to deserve it. Much of God's discipline is designed to head off a possible fall in the future. Paul's thorn in the flesh, why did he have it? To keep him from becoming sinfully prideful. And then there are other times, though, when trials are designed to take us to a deeper level of devotion to God so that we know him in a deeper way and are able to use by him more effectively. In those cases, there's no sin involved either. And that was the case with Job. And I said all that to say this. When someone is suffering, do not automatically conclude that they are a worse sinner than you or anyone else. In fact, our response should always be compassion, not condemnation. God has not called us to chasten. That's his job. He's called Christians to show compassion to other Christians who are suffering. That should be our response. 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate children and not sons. Every Christian is suffering in some way. Did you know that? Every Christian wishes they could change something in their life. Every single Christian wishes that they could change something in their life, and whatever form that something takes is, in fact, the discipline of God, their Father. 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? A child doesn't like it when a parent disciplines them. But that's because they're a child and they don't know what's good for them. It's the parent's job to teach them what's good for them. And then when they get older, as God says here in verse 9, they're going to respect their parents for loving them enough to train them. We respect our earthly parents for their efforts at training, and we should also respect God and appreciate him for allowing unpleasant things into our life in order to train us. And again, that doesn't mean you can't work and can't pray for better things. You ought to. But if it's there, it's there. Make the best of it. 10. For they verily, earthly parents, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God chastens as seems best to him. Consequently, let him decide what difficulties, what disappointments he wants to allow into your life, and how long he wants you to endure them. And by the way, don't waste your time trying to figure out what God is trying to accomplish through your trials, okay? Some Christians are always trying to figure out the whys. They're always trying to figure out things. They're always trying to figure things out. Let me give you some advice, okay? Forget about it. Just forget about it. Just respond to trials by drawing closer to God than ever, and he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish, and he will show you what he wants you to know. But don't waste time trying to figure things out. Just respond the right way by drawing closer to Jesus. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. God's chastening is a difficult thing to go through. But there are no shortcuts to holiness. There are no easy paths to holiness. But when we allow pain and trouble to drive us closer to God, He's going to bring about the holiness that we need in order to experience the joy and the peace and the assurance that He wants us to have. That's why James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." God is an amazing Father. God's love for His children is beyond our ability to fully grasp. But we get a taste of it through His chastening. We get a taste, a glimpse of our Father's love for us when in the midst of chastening, when in the midst of the pain and the suffering, we turn to Him with all of our heart and seek Him like never before. When we do that, He comforts us by His Spirit and through His Word in a remarkable way. He will comfort us in the midst of our trials, and when He does, He will reassure us that it's all for our benefit, it's all to make us better, and He has done it because He loves us, and there's nothing better than knowing that. When you submit to God's discipline, when you allow it to draw you closer to Him, when you allow it to change you, then you're going to appreciate God's love for you more than you ever thought you possibly could. You're going to love Him more. You're going to want to serve Him more. You're going to appreciate Him more. You're going to trust Him more. And you will only want what He wants in your life because you will know that as your loving Heavenly Father, He knows what's best and He wants what's best for you. And now, to wrap this thing up, I'm going to leave you with three questions and three answers, which will summarize everything we've heard today. Question number one, define God's discipline. Answer, anything in your life that you don't like. Question two, how should you not respond to God's discipline? Answer, by complaining or by focusing on those who may be the human element in your trouble. By seeking an explanation as to why a person did a bad thing to you or why trouble has entered into your life? Wrong response. Question three, how should you respond to God's discipline? How should you respond to trouble? Answer, seek God more than ever. Pray more. Read the Bible more. Go to church more. Serve God more. Serve others more. In other words, increase every aspect of your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And always remember that Christians are not called to live on explanations, but on promises, especially the promise that God is using bad to bring about a greater good. And if you want to be a part of this ministry, you can be. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. Our address, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Again, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211 for questions and comments about this message or anything else concerning our ministry. You can call 715-845-8298, 715-845-8298. Again, our mailing address, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. And don't forget to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website, found at thebibleversebyverse.com, because everything you need to grow spiritually, you can study every single verse of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, along with me and my audio Bible commentaries and much, much more at thebibleversebyverse.com. Won't cost you a thing. But again, your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.